So how do we respond to the news of a massacre in an elementary school?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, it is Friday, and Friday's a day for you've got questions, we've got answers. But if you've heard the news, your heart's got to be breaking as mine is and others are. A massacre in an elementary school. Who can imagine this? Connecticut Elementary School. Latest reports, at least 26 people, including 18 children, dead. And this is an elementary school for kindergarten to fourth grade only, making this kids even younger. How do we respond to that? What do we think on a day like that? Of course, we want to pray for all the families involved. We want to pray for God's merciful intervention. But to me, this is unimaginable what's going on in these lives right now. And we want to lift our hearts before God, who I can assure you is not sitting by passively either and just saying, oh, that's what people do, or, well, I saw this coming a long time ago. These things break God's heart as well. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today. There's a lot we're going to talk about, and the phone lines are open, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you have something redemptive to say, as well, if you have something insightful to say, glad to hear from you. I'm not going to entertain phone calls that this is another sign of the times and that this means Jesus must be coming any moment. Tragically, there's been wickedness like this in the human race since Adam and Eve fell. The very first son born to the human race killed the second son born to the human race. There was fratricide, killing the brother immediately in our human history as the years unfolded. Genesis 8 tells us that the thoughts of man's hearts are wicked continually from his youth, which is why God doesn't wipe the earth out. It's not because we've gotten better. It's because he's not wiping the earth out with a flood again, because otherwise he'd have to wipe the earth out over and over because of human wickedness. But friends, when it comes to mass indiscriminate shootings like this involving children, it's just unimaginable. According to the reports we have, the shooter, although there may have been someone else involved, the shooter was himself 20 years old, according to this report, and a parent of a child there. If that's the case, he would have had the kid as a teenager, 15 years old. I mean, I can't quite get the chronology and figure this out, but he comes in there in military garb to this school in Connecticut, begins shooting. Who can imagine the terror with these kids? Bloodshed, teachers killed, families traumatized, coming close to the holiday season already, Hanukkah season and Christmas at hand. It's utterly shocking. To me, these things stand as a deep reminder to the sin of the human race. These things sound remind me once again of how it's only by God's mercy that the world is not completely destroyed. And these things remind me again of how desperately our nation needs the Lord. I'm not going to get into a discussion about gun control or things like that. That's not where my focus is. My focus is on the human heart. And these tragedies need to awaken us to turn to the Lord and ask him to have mercy on our land, a land that's filled with innocent bloodshed, a land that's filled with the blood of children today. And let's pray, and we'll do that when we come back. We'll pray for the families involved, and I want to give you some hope and encouragement in the midst of horrific news like this.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is Friday, friends, which means you've got questions, we've got answers. We're preempting, though, just getting into that quite yet and focusing on something much more critically important right now. At least 26 people, including 18 children, killed. Some reports say 27 killed this morning in an elementary school in Connecticut. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted." Paul said, "We weep with those who weep." Yes, in particular within the body, but on a larger scale, these things hold true. Ecclesiastes says there's a time to mourn, there's a time to dance. This is one of those times to mourn. This is one of those times where our hearts break at utterly senseless violence. It's tragic when you hear about a mass shooting anywhere where someone just comes in. This happened earlier this year at the movie theater in Colorado and just begins shooting people indiscriminately, killing people indiscriminately. That's devastating enough. It becomes all the more devastating when it involves children, and all the more when it involves little children. And in the safety, presumed safety of an elementary school, what would motivate someone to go and kill other kids? Who can imagine that? Before I read some scripture to you, let's pray, all right? Father, we look to you, God of all comfort, God of all mercy, God of redemption. Lord, you who turn hopeless situations around and bring light out of darkness and good out of evil. Lord, we ask you right now to intervene in the midst of this. Every family directly affected, those in the utter trauma right now of dealing with the fact that their kid was killed, other kids and adults wounded, family members involved, the trauma for these other kids, Father, we cast this on you, and we ask you in the midst of this terribly, terribly dark news to cause your light to shine. We ask you in the midst of the agony to bring comfort and even hope in Jesus' name. Let's say that we believe, as I do, that little children who die go into the presence of the Lord. That even though we all have sinned from our early days, we've rebelled against parents' commands as little children. I understand that. As I read scripture, there is still an accountability issue. Deuteronomy 1:39 spoke of little children who didn't know the difference between good and evil. Jesus often modeled the kingdom of God on children, that we had to become like them. That doesn't minimize, even if each of these 18 kids went immediately from being shot into the presence of the Lord, that does not minimize the devastation to the families right now. That does not minimize the horrific nature of the violence. And we don't minimize the horror of abortion because we believe that aborted babies go into the presence of God. It's still a horror. It's still the shedding of innocent blood. And I want you to hear what Jesus says about children and his heavenly Father. Matthew chapter 18, he says this: "Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea." And he says this, calling a little child and having the child stand in their midst, "I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven." He even tells us that in heaven, the heavenly Father has his eyes on the angels who have their eyes on the children. Just in terms of God's care, do you know in Jeremiah's day, God sent the children of Israel, or the children of Judah, into exile. And when Jeremiah was calling for repentance, of course, there wasn't sufficient repentance. And King Josiah was trying to lead the nation in repentance. There wasn't sufficient repentance. It was the sin of Manasseh. It was the sin of Manasseh, a previous king who reigned for 55 years, that was so grievous that God said he could not forgive that generation. In other words, the punishment ultimately had to come. And listen to what it says in Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah chapter 15. I will make them abhorrent, speaking of the people of Judah, to all the kingdoms of the earth because of what Manasseh, son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, did in Jerusalem. What was it? It was shedding of innocent blood. Let me also say, friends, that when little children are attacked, our most vulnerable possessions, our most vulnerable citizens, be it in the womb, be it in an elementary school, be it in domestic violence in the home, be it assaulted through the violence on television, and on and on and on. These things grieve God's heart deeply. And I want to say plainly, the only reason America still exists, and the only reason the nations of the earth still exist, with all of our sin and all of our wickedness and all of the kids who've suffered, sold into human trafficking. So, you know, they're little kids, not even elementary school age, sold into human trafficking in different parts of the world, and I'm sure in America too, sold into pornographic films and unimaginable things. The only reason that America still exists as a nation, and the only reason that the nations of the earth still exist, is because of the extreme mercy of God. If we received justice in this world, we would be utterly wiped out. Someone had a question for me. They were asking about eternal hell, and how could this possibly be? Milton asked about it, and people suffering forever and ever and ever. How could it possibly be? And Milton, that's actually a subject we're going to continue to discuss on the air, and have some folks with different viewpoints about future suffering come on the air and debate these points. But I do want to say, just as an initial response to you, sir, that human wickedness is more severe than we realize. No, not just someone who committed these horrific acts, but many things that we justify that are smaller and that are different. But human wickedness compared to God's holiness is far more severe than we could possibly imagine. And also, as some Bible scholars have pointed out, what if in the midst of being punished for our sins, we continue to sin against God? Won't that merit ongoing punishment? All right, let me hear what's on your mind. 866-34-TRUTH. Takesha in Honolulu, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, sir. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, Takesha.
Thank you. I'm not calling to debate or anything. I just wanted to say that I pray for the family and the kids that were affected, everybody that was hurt in the crime. I really pray for them. That's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, and Takesha, of course, yeah, there's nothing to debate today. I appreciate that, but we need to be praying, and you know, we just want life to go on. It's in another part of the world, especially you're all the way in Hawaii, but these tragedies need to affect us and need to impact us, and we must carry this together and pray. Yes, absolutely. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. 866-34-TRUTH. Adam in East Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, Dr. Brown, I wanted to say that I really appreciate how you started this show off, because that rang true to me, what you said. Now is not the time to be saying, I told you so. Now is the time to weep and mourn. And, woe unto the inhabitants of the earth. And thank you for leading us in prayer and for calling it like it is, Dr. Brown. Thank you again.
Well, you're very welcome, Adam. Thanks so much. 866-34-TRUTH. You know, I was listening to the radio. I had seen a report about a shooting, but when I first saw it, it said an adult maybe shot or wounded. I thought, I hope that's all that it is, because it was elementary school. And then I flipped the radio on my car, and the announcement came on. They were interrupting another talk radio show. The announcement came on, and the horror of 18 children killed and adults killed, and it's mind-boggling. And then they went back from the news back to the talk show, and the guy was talking about the economy or something. I thought, wow, does that sound irrelevant? Does that sound utterly irrelevant? Friends, we need awakening in our nation. We need an outpouring of revival. We're hurting. This is a picture of the depth of the problems in our nations. God can redeem.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on this Friday, which is normally you've got questions, we've got answers. There are a few things I want to interact with over the course of the show that are relevant, that will not get us off track, because our focus has changed in light of the horrific, horrific news from Connecticut. This morning, still unfolding, a man goes into an elementary school. Apparently, the father of kid in the school, or at least involved with one of the families, still unclear in terms of the reports. Military garb, shoots and kills 18 children. This is an elementary school from kindergarten to fourth grade, not even through sixth grade. So these are the youngest of the young. Other adults killed, 26 or 27 killed, including the gunman. I want to say again that an act like this is an extreme act of human evil, but it is a typical act of human evil, meaning we are, as human beings, incapable of horrific things. This was not some inhuman monster who committed these acts. This was another human being. This was someone's son. This one's someone's neighbor. This one was someone's friend. This was a fellow human being. Jesus died for the sin of the world. Jesus died because our sin, yours and mine, was so horrific that nothing could take it away, and no amount of attempts to change and reform on our end could fix things. And our only hope was in the mercy of God extended to us through the cross. Yes, this act is something unspeakable and unimaginable, with horrific repercussions, and without God's intervention, those that survived are wounded and hurt for life. The family members that lost kids hurt for life. What we have to pray, though, is in the midst of this evil, is that God brings good out of evil and light out of darkness. How? Only God knows, because these things are beyond our capacity to understand or even to rightly respond to. But we are going to continue to pray that the Lord will bring his stories of grace out of this. Not just the miracle of the kid that should have been killed and wasn't, or this one that survived, and we rejoice with every one of those stories, but something more, something bigger in terms of God's intervention. And again, let this stir us, each of us, to pray for revival in America, for awakening in America, and for the church to recognize the evil of human sin, that we can cast ourselves all the more on God for his mercy. 866-34-TRUTH. I am hearing from you as well, your thoughts in response to this. Ruth in Detroit, Michigan, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Brown. I wanted to weigh in this respect. I'm really concerned that as we tell people more and more that the young children that pass away are immediately in the presence of the Lord, we're seeing a lot more of this. We're seeing parents kill their own children because they don't want them growing up in this world. And I would rather, from a scriptural point of view, tell people that there is a next life, there is a resurrection from the dead, the Old Testament tells us of a time when children are still children at 100 years of age, and they have a long period of time to become obedient, but then there is a cutoff at 100 years of age.
You know, Ruth, just to jump in, first, that's only referenced one time. It is in the book of Isaiah, and it seems to be speaking of something in the millennial kingdom, not in the world to come in terms of eternity after the resurrection. But here's what's important, Ruth. I am not dogmatically saying that I know the fate of every child that was killed. I'm saying my hope is that every one of those kids, in God's mercy, went immediately into the presence of God. But I will say this. Those that are guilty of killing their kids or other horrific acts like that are not doing it in a rational manner. They're not thinking this through. Well, if I kill them now, they'll go to heaven. There are other things that are normally provoking them, and comments of comfort and hope to in terms of the fate of the children at a time like this is not going to fuel more fire for people to go on rampages and acts of violence like this. 866-34-TRUTH. Joseph in Houston, Texas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, thank you for taking the call. I never call in, but this circumstance is, I mean, I never call radio shows and stuff. I often listen, but rarely do I call in. And I just wanted to say that you have nailed it on the head on so many different counts when it comes to the events of today. On I guess the biggest or the most important point here is our wickedness. I believe that until every father and every mother and every self-abled teenager and so forth can accept that they can become as wicked as the person who committed these crimes today, until they can accept that, we're not going to have the awakening that you are referencing.
And yeah, you know, Joseph, it seems impossible that any of us could ever do anything like this. I imagine a week ago it would have seemed impossible that this gentleman involved could have done this. When I've taught on sexual purity, one of the first points I made is right here's where we started. Immorality could happen to any of us. If we want to be kept from sin, the first thing to recognize is it could happen to any of us. Maybe not every one of us doing the same things or the same horrific acts, but the same tendency to sin and to do things that we know are wrong in God's sight or in the sight of others, that's in every one of us without God's grace at work. So, yeah, Joseph, I apologize for cutting you off. We've got a break here, but sorry to cut you off in mid-sentence, sir. Let me say this. It's just not the best time to be encouraging you to take advantage of a special resource offer right now. As always, your gifts are appreciated and needed and helped on the broadcast for the work that we're doing. If you want to find out about today's special resource offer, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore. That's askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore to order there. And if you can stand with us to help us financially, especially as we come to the end of the year, that would be great if you believe in the work that we're doing. But pray again right now for not just these who are traumatized in America, but there are many in the midst of tragedies we're just not reading about in the news. Let's pray for God's intervention. Let's pray as people are saying, God, where are you? Where have you been? He'll be saying, look, I'm working in this life and this life and this life and this life. Our God is a merciful Redeemer. And Jesus did die so that we could live with Him forever.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on the Line of Fire broadcast. Friday is normally you've got questions, we've got answers. I may get to some things that I think are relevant in terms of questions, but our focus has changed in light of massacre in an elementary school. Boy, if you didn't hear the news in Connecticut this morning, at least 27 dead, the latest reports, including 18 children. I can't imagine what that feels like as a parent. I've never been through anything like that. I can't imagine what the scene at the school was like. Some kids in another classroom, gunfire starts going off, and the teachers are able to lock the kids in a room and say it's hammering, someone hammering, and another kid, when they finally are able to get them out, just don't close your eyes, just look down, close your eyes, hold hands, and let's get out of the school here. But again, there's horror, there's shock. It's hard for me to comprehend. That's an understatement. I cannot begin to come within a million miles of comprehending what God's heart must be like as he looks out and sees so much suffering in the world. There is a teaching that says God is always in a good mood, by which people mean he's not fickle, by which they mean he's not like some drunken husband who comes home and beats his wife and kids and then the next day is laughing and smiling, that he's consistently good, he's consistently gracious, he's consistently kind. And of course, that's true. But the idea of God always being in a good mood when he sees things like this happening all around the world all the time, that's certainly not a biblical statement. Yes, there is joy in the presence of God. In his presence is fullness of joy. And I also believe that there's pain in his presence, because the Holy Spirit intercedes with groanings that can't be uttered in human speech. And this is in harmony with the Father. That Jesus is always making intercession for us, that means there's a carrying of pain. 866-348-7884, and I will get back to the phones shortly, momentarily. Richard Wurmbrand told this story. Saintly man with the Lord now, was imprisoned 14 years, horrific torture and punishment for the gospel. There was a man in a prison cell, a Christian in a prison cell, and all day long he heard the cries of people being tortured, screaming, agony. And he just said, "Lord, please, I can't take this. Would you just let me in your presence for a little while?" And suddenly he felt his spirit leaving his body and beginning to ascend up into the presence of God. But as he got closer and closer to heaven and the throne of God, the screams, the cries got louder. And when he got before the Lord, the screams and cries were very intense. And he said, "Lord, isn't heaven a place of joy?" And the Lord responded to him, "You haven't read the scriptures carefully," quoted from Exodus 2, how the groans, the cries of the children of Israel went up to God's throne, and how Jesus was a man intimately acquainted with our pain. Yes, heaven is a place of joy, but it's also a place where God's heart breaks for a dying and hurting world. So on a day like today, we want to pray for the mercy of God to be poured out, for recognition of the nature of human sin, and for revival to come to the church. If we recognize the evil of sin, we recognize the power of the cross and the power of God's redemption. We downplay it. We downplay the cross. We downplay redemption. Back with your calls.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire this Friday. Normally, you've got questions, we've got answers. We're preempting that either for the most part or entirely as we talk about some perspectives, biblical perspectives, spiritual perspectives, perspectives of hope in the midst of a horrific tragedy, the massacre at the elementary school in Connecticut this morning. 866-34-TRUTH. Brenda in Lamarck. All right, we lost Brenda. Let's go to Maria in Woodbridge, New Jersey. Right. Hello, Maria.
Yeah, right. Your focus has been changed today, and it's for prayers and for these babies. Well, for the past 28 years, my focus and my heart has been for the aborted babies outside the clinic.
Mm-hmm.
4,000 every day are slaughtered.
Yeah.
And when I turn on the station, it's business as usual. Buy my book, buy my tape, and never does a heart cry out. Just for a minute, cry out for these little ones today. 4,000.
So, Maria, hang on. So you've missed all the ministry that we're involved.
No, I haven't.
All right. You know, Maria's called a few times to attack us for not teaching the Bible ever, and now for not ever having a heart for aborted babies. You know, it's a shame, Maria, because we're actively involved in pro-life, have been for years, and our congregations on the front lines of pro-life work here in our city and in our state, actually. It's a shame. Shame, Maria, that you come with these perspectives. For those that wonder why I just jumped in, it's because I've talked to Maria before. You know, let me just say this honestly. If you can't step back today and stand together as we mourn for the loss of these young lives and talk about the effect of human sin on our nation and our need for the mercy of God, and instead you're going to use this as a day to attack, something is wrong in your heart. I say that candidly. 866-34-TRUTH. Frank, and all right, we lost Frank on Long Island. Let's go to John in Rockaway, New Jersey. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
How are you doing, Dr. Brown? Thank you for taking my call. And as you stated so clearly before, that this is such a tragedy, one that our nation will not forget in any soon time. Thinking about this, many people are going to be asking the question, God, especially non-Christians and such, God, where are you throughout this incident? And obviously God is a sovereign God, controls everything. He could have stopped that, but he chose not to, and he allowed it to happen. And, you know, I was thinking about this through and through, and I was reminded what it says in Romans chapter 1, that God abandons a nation. This is, he abandons the people that abandon him. So I think this is maybe something that's going to be taking place more and more as the Spirit of God chooses not to intervene with these evil practices of some people, because we as a nation have chosen to abandon him.
Yeah, you know, John, there, a couple of thoughts. First, when you say we're not going to forget this for a while, I'm concerned that by the end of the day for many, certainly by the weekend and football games and sports and other things, that many will have completely forgotten about this. And just another terrible news item. That's how calloused we become. That's how exposed we become day and night to news of calamity and tragedy. It's normally somewhere else. It's normally not on this level. But I believe we've been hardened. This is the second shooting this week. There was one in a mall earlier in the week. It just did not have the level of casualties this one had, or the children like this involved. But as far as God's sovereignty, God made very clear that we could choose to do evil. There are murders taking place every day. There are atrocities taking place every day. There are rapes taking place. There's torture taking place. There's all types of madness taking place. God's not responsible for any of it. God has made clear that we can choose life or we can choose death. And yes, to the extent that we abandon him, to that extent, we will see more chaos, more carnage. Why? Because we abandon him and we go our own way. And we've been doing this for years and years and years and years. We need the mercy of God. 866-34-TRUTH. My hope is that this pain, this tragedy, this the unspeakable nature of it, again, children in an elementary school massacred by a gunman, that the unspeakable nature of it will at least jar more of us to pray, will at least jar more of us to get on our faces, will at least jar more of us to be praying for awakening. No, we don't need awakening in America today because of this tragedy. We've needed awakening in America for many, many years. And this is another reminder to us of that. 866-34-TRUTH. John in Washington, D.C., thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Is this in the radio station or not, first of all?
Yeah, what did you...
What radio station? I lost you on 105.1.
Okay. WAVA-FM, where you are in D.C., is live for the first half hour only, and then there's a replay on the AM station, I think, from 5 to 6 in the afternoon. So you can actually hear your call on WAVA-FM, either between 5 and 6 or 6 and 7 at this very time. So it'll either be 5:43 or 6:43. But yeah, 105.1, you only get the first half hour there. That's at least at present what we have.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you mentioned something about, I know everyone's mourning for what's going on, what happened, that incident right now is very sad. But that belief that many people have, and see if you could answer this or help me out. I hear many people have that belief that if, you know, if you're bad, God, like you just mentioned earlier, God would torture you in hell. And then you got other people that believe that when you die and you're good, you go to heaven. And it's every man's or everyone's desire to go to heaven, like if that's the happiest thing that could ever happen to anyone. And if that belief is true, in a way people should be, it's like saying, I mean, I don't believe this belief because it's like saying that that people can get happy for these kids that they're dead because now they're in heaven. You understand what I'm saying?
Right,
it doesn't
but John,
make sense
right,
to me.
Here's the thing. No one is getting happy over this. I'm simply saying that I'm processing each point of this and saying my belief is, because that is a question, what happens to people who die? My understanding of Scripture is that children who die as children go into the presence of God. We can get into a theological discussion of that as to how. You know, there are some who say some are predestined to heaven, some are predestined to hell. A child who dies that's predestined to hell goes to hell. Others will say, well, if the child was not baptized in the church, and that's another Christian expression, or there are all these different beliefs. My understanding is that as Jesus used children as an example, little children, and told us we had to humble ourselves and become as little children, as Deuteronomy 1:39 spoke of little children not knowing the difference between good and evil, you have that expression elsewhere in the book of Isaiah about children, that based on that, that there is a different accountability for a 3-year-old who commits a sinful act versus a 30-year-old who commits a sinful act. You say, well, theologically, does that mean that it's covered by the blood of Jesus? Or, well, that could all be debated. So there's nothing to rejoice about. No one's saying there's anything to rejoice about. I'm simply saying, even if that's the case, even if it's the case that these little ones are with the Lord, that does not minimize the horror and tragedy of the day. All right, thank you for the call, John. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Scott in Lodi, New Jersey. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Amen, brother. I praise God for your show. I'm a daily listener, and this tragic is very heavy. I believe all children belong to Jesus, as he stated in the New Testament when they were trying to chase the children away. And I just hope this unifies us. The people that are lost, there's so many non-believers out there that are lost, that are not in fellowship with Christ. And it breaks my heart every Sunday to see people not coming, not showing up, and giving their lives to God. And I just hope that this tragedy can put some of God's love between the people to bring us together, because it's all together for his good that he does for our good. It's his grace that reigns on us.
Yeah,
and I praise God today for the work that you're doing.
Yeah, well, Scott, thanks, and thanks for being a daily listener. That when I travel out and I meet people and I say, I listen to you every day, those have become the warmest words for me to hear, the most gratifying and encouraging words to hear from people. But you know what concerns me, Scott, is we had the tragedy of 9/11 in 2001, an unimaginable tragedy on another scope, on another level. And churches after that, buildings packed out for some weeks, and then pretty quickly, life went back to normal. Someone said, you know, we had the alarm, 9/11, wake-up call, and then we hit the snooze button. May God not allow us to just go on with life as normal after something like this. We'll be back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yes, friends, it is Friday on The Line of Fire, which means we normally just take your calls. You've got questions. We've got answers. And perhaps we'll have some interaction like that in the second hour of the show today. But in this first hour, at least, and perhaps through the whole second, we've changed our normal programming to talk about the massacre in Connecticut. You say, what massacre? I guess you didn't hear then. Massacre in an elementary school, at least 27 dead, including 18 children. Latest reports that the shooter was the son of a teacher at the school. Just 20 years old. There were first reports that he was the father of a child at the school, which I was wondering about if he's 20 and the children of kindergarten to fourth grade, how that was. These reports says he was the son of a teacher at the school, identified now as 20-year-old Ryan Lanza, found dead inside the building from a self-inflicted gunshot wounds. One of the adult victims is Lanza's mother, according to the reports that I'm looking at now. Again, unreal. Now saying 24 years old. Thanks, Joey. And my whole focus today has been to remind us of the nature of human sin. Yes, this is extreme. Yes, this is something beyond anything that the vast, vast, vast majority, 99.999999% of human beings will ever do. Yet there are all kinds of atrocities being committed on a daily basis, and so many of us guilty of evil thoughts in our own minds, which means we ought not to be strutting around, look at how great we are and look at how big we are, rather saying, look at how broken we are and how need of a savior we are. I was writing a chapter for a book last night, a book I'm working on contemporary gospel deceptions, contemporary gospel error. And it was a chapter on the myth of effortless spirituality, that there's such a thing as effortless spirituality. I absolutely believe in enjoying the Lord, being carried by his grace and goodness. And in the midst of that, he calls us to run and to stand and to fight. And I was thinking about actually that and another article I was writing for Christian Magazine about the defective gospel message that we preach, that A.W. Tozer said the new cross does not slay the sinner. This is over 50 years ago. The new cross doesn't slay the sinner. It redirects him. I say the modern version of that is the new cross doesn't slay the sinner. It empowers him. We preach a gospel of empowerment. Jesus can make you into a bigger and better you. It's the American version of the gospel. We almost bypass the need for a cross. We bypass the need for a savior and just have this Jesus who makes our life bigger and better. We've lost an understanding of the horrific nature of sin, how fallen the human race is without God, how different God is than we are in terms of his holiness and our sin, and how desperately we need a Savior to forgive us of our sin and to give us a new life so we can live differently. Let us now shine. Let us be seen for good works and for good deeds. Let us be seen as a people who do not live the way of the world. And may the sins of the world not be found in our midst. 866-34-TRUTH. Nancy in New York City, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you? I was calling because, first of all, I just heard about this from you, of what happened, because I was been working since 8 o'clock this morning, so I didn't hear. It's horrific. It's horrible. But I want to encourage you, and I want to encourage the rest of the church that's been praying for this nation for many, many years, and say that I got a praise report this morning from somebody who I never thought could be saved. Wrong, wrong, wrong. The Lord can save anyone, anyone. And we just keep praying and keep hoping and keep holding up people. And yes, this is a tragedy. It doesn't, the little ones are probably in heaven, but, you know, the truth is that God has a purpose for every single life he puts on this earth, however he puts it here. And his purpose was not carried out in those lives because of this young man.
Nancy,
so
if I remember,
the Lord to save this nation.
Yeah, Nancy, if I remember your voice, because my wife is Nancy. Yeah, because my own wife is Nancy. Your name stuck out to me, New York City. So you are a nurse, and you called in talking about abortion one day, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and I'm still working on it.
yeah. But, you know, I bring that up, Nancy, just to say that there has been such a terrible trivializing of human life. And we want to turn away. We don't want to look at the images of aborted children. No, that's bad. That's wrong. You can't look at the images. We can be guilty of producing them through abortion, but we can't look at them. Well, this is something we have to look at. The slaughter
that's
of children
right.
in elementary school is something we have to look at and something we have to come to grips with. And the issue to me is not the question of gun control. The question is the issue of human sin, God's redemption.
That's right.
And yes, this must prompt us to pray, and God can save the darkest, the most hopeless. So thank you for calling. I appreciate it, Nancy.
Oh, you're so welcome.
All right. Friends, stay on the line. I'm going to continue this discussion on the other side of the break. Samuel, Sarah, Ruth, others, if you feel you have something you'd like to say, I'll be glad to talk to you on the other side of the break. And again, we have a terrific resource offer this week, and it's just not the time to be focusing on that right now. But because it is available, go to AskDrBrown.org, click on the online bookstore, see what is available. If it's of interest to you, by all means, take advantage of it. Again, it's AskDrBrown.org. You can just go to the online bookstore there. And if you're able to stand with us as we are, by God's grace, a voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, we're looking to sponsor pastors in India with your help. We're looking to continue to expand this radio outreach. We're looking to expand our outreach to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And we do it with your help. So be praying for us, please. Our heart burns to see awakening in America and through that a moral and cultural revolution in our country. So be standing with us. If you want to help with a contribution or become a monthly torchbearer, call this number, 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to AskDrBrown.org and click on support. And again, I want to encourage you to be praying for all of those directly affected by this absolute horror in Connecticut. You know, our lives will go on. Some an hour from now, we'll hardly remember this. Some a day from now. Most of us, within a few days, life's back to normal. But we're talking about something that will last a lifetime for those involved, and it could be terribly destructive unless God intervenes. So we want to continue to pray for all those involved. Make a note to yourself to do it. And my bottom line today, we serve a God who brings light out of darkness and who brings good out of evil. Let us first remember, though, how much evil there is in the human race and how desperately we need a Savior. And let us cry out to our God for awakening in our land. So how do we respond to the news of a massacre in an elementary school?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
In April of the year 2010, I debated Professor Bart Ehrman on the Bible and the problem of suffering. Does the Bible provide an adequate answer to the problem of suffering? And one of the points that I made in the midst of that debate was that God has given us the ability to make choices. And some of those choices may be horrific and terrible and destructive, but God has given us the ability to make choices. And a young man made a choice to kill his mother, a school teacher in an elementary school in Connecticut, and to kill 18 elementary school children, other adults as well, then take his own life. And although it's Friday, we normally have a more of an upbeat show. You've got questions, we've got answers, serious, but we have some fun as well. We want to continue our focus as we did the first hour, which was not just on random questions, but on the larger question, the larger issue of this tragedy in Connecticut. And would you join me in prayer as we prayed last hour? I want to pray again. Heavenly Father, God of comfort, God of grace, God of mercy, we look to you in the midst of terrible pain, unimaginable suffering and trauma. We look to you to intervene and stretch out your hand. And in the midst of the darkness and the hopelessness, bring your light. May it be clear in the months to come to the families involved that you are not distant, but that you are near to the brokenhearted. And may this further spark awakening in our country and stir our own consciences to recognize our desperate need for you, Lord. We cry out to you for mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. 866-348-7884. Last hour, I opened the phones just in case folks wanted to weigh in, share any of their perspective, any of their thoughts on the tragedy. Redemptive thoughts, if you want to call in and say, this is proof that Jesus is coming at any moment, sorry, I differ with you. There has been terrible sin committed by human beings for days, weeks, months, years, decades, centuries, millennia. That's been a constant. It was Chesterton, I believe, who said that the one biblical doctrine that can be universally demonstrated is the doctrine of original sin or the universality of sin, paraphrasing what he said. But there are many things that we have to say in the midst of a tragedy like this. And to my surprise, I thought, well, I'll open up the phones in case a couple of people want to call in. To my surprise, I was unable to get to nearly all the calls from people wanting to weigh in and share their hearts. So the phone lines are open, 866-348-7884. We'll share more details with you as they unfold. But I mentioned in the first hour that this morning I saw a news flash just that this had happened, but the first report, there was a shooting and maybe an adult killed or wounded, and I thought, well, that's bad, elementary school. If that's all that happened, could have been so much worse. And then I was in the car coming up to the office, and I put on the radio, and it was a talk radio show I listen to sometimes, but instead there was news being given, which is normally not what's happening because it's a talk radio show. And the news was saying at least 26 killed, 27 killed, 18 children. I thought, oh, no. And then they went back to the broadcast where the gentleman was talking about finances and U.S. economy. And I thought, no. What could be more irrelevant right now? What could be more irrelevant? We will change our focus here today.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us today on The Line of Fire, a day with many heavy hearts in light of the slaughter in an elementary school in Connecticut. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us. Fridays, normally you've got questions, we've got answers, but we're preempting that. Unless there was a question I was going to address that tied in directly with these things. 866-348-7884. I'd be happy to interact with you, get your thoughts as well. You know, despite all the violence in the media, violent movies, violent TV shows, violent video games, despite that, despite other mass shootings that have taken place in public facilities, movie theater earlier this year, other places, despite the ongoing reports we get of atrocities taking place in places like Syria, of course, that's so far away from most of us and different culture, and we don't know the people, and hard, not as graphic, hard to relate. I mean, we hear all this and constant exposure to violence, some imagined in terms of the video games, some real in terms of the news reports. Nothing prepares you for something like this. And if you can just kind of skip on your merry way, like, well, whatever, it's just an indication of tremendous hardness of heart. It's an indication of perhaps being so soaked in a culture of violence that these things don't devastate us, don't shock us, don't cause us to change our course of action, change our plans, change our praying. You know, before I go to the phones, I heard this. If I didn't hear it from someone I knew, it would have been hard to believe. The day of 9/11 tragedy took over 3,000 lives, and of course, many still traumatized by the effects of that to this day, families that were directly affected. So that was 2001, September 11th. And there was a youth pastor from a big church in Seattle who told us, there when he shared these things, told us that because they're on the West Coast, by the time the reports got out and everything, this was already news now. As the kids were going to school, everybody knew about this. So there was a public school that had a lot of church kids in it, and then he knew a lot of the lost kids he was reaching out to, and he thought, I better get there because it's going to be a hellish day for these kids. And he got there, and especially the unsaved kids, just going about business as usual. And he began to talk to them, and they're like, that was like bad graphics. My video game's got better graphics than that. In other words, the thing didn't even seem real to them. The thing did not seem real. They were so soaked and saturated in media violence that it didn't seem real. The Columbine killers watched violent movies, one in particular, over and over, and played violent video games. Now when they went out and began to kill their classmates and teachers, did it seem just like another game to them? That's almost the state of the culture. And yet, when you hear something like this, it's so utterly jarring that you have to stop and say, oh, God, have mercy on our land and bring us to a place of repentance because we are a wicked people and we need your mercy. You say, yeah, but it's just one event. No, we're a violent culture. People are being shot day and night, and parents are killing kids and stepkids all the time. And kids are being abused. We're a violent culture, we're a sinful culture because we're sinful people who need the Lord, and we need God's intervention in our nation. There's no political solution to things like this. People may want to debate gun control. That's not the big issue. The big issue is the sin of human hearts. 866-34-TRUTH. Samuel in New York City, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Drum. You know, this past week when I saw on the news the tragedy in Oregon, I started to reflect on something. I said, Lord, how can this happen during Christmas time? You know, it's so horrible. And when I was just praying for the victims, the families, he put something in my mind, a remembrance of prophecy in Jeremiah chapter 31:15, regarding something that took place when Christ was born, mm-hmm. when King Herod tried to destroy him. And there was a mass slaughter of innocents that took place during that time when Jesus was born. And I says, my goodness, what a... And then when I woke up this morning, this afternoon, and I heard the news, I started to remember what he told me. And all I can say is that during this time, this tragedy, there's still hope. There's still a promise, a sure word, that even in the midst of this tragedy, Christ is born. And he has the answer to peace.
Yeah, Samuel, you know, that's an excellent word to bring at this point. Jeremiah 31, Rachel weeping for her children as they go into exile. And then Matthew hears her weeping again for the slaughter of the innocents, the slaughter of the baby boys, 2 years old and younger, in Bethlehem. And that terrible bloodshed right before or at the time that the Redeemer is being born. Rachel's weeping again in that sense, sir. And yes, the hope of the world is in the birth of that promised child in Bethlehem. Thank you for the call. I appreciate it, Samuel.
God bless you.
All right. 866-34-TRUTH. That's a great scripture to remind us of at this hour. It reminds us again of the depth of human evil. There's one thing that provokes judgment from God. It's the shedding of innocent blood, the shedding of the blood of children. And today's horrific acts are just an exclamation point of that evil that already exists in our society in so many ways. Ruth in Belen, New Mexico, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I hope I won't embarrass you. I just really wanted to thank you personally for all the teaching, the wisdom and guidance that's poured out through you because you gave your life to God. And I know God blesses you, and I just pray that you'll be strengthened, you and your family today. And I just wanted to thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, no, Bruce, I do appreciate that, and it's my privilege to be used. And thank you. That means a lot. I appreciate it.
All right.
866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, go and hug your kids today, parents. Yeah, go and appreciate them all the more. Go and think about the value of these amazing lives. For us as parents and grandparents, we think of little ones, we think of our grandkids. But be sure to be there for them. Be sure to pour into them. Be sure not to take them for granted. I read something that one father had written many years later when his kids were raised. He said something interesting. He said, if I had to do it again, I wouldn't spend so much time praying for my kids. I would have prayed more for myself to be a better father. Let's pray for ourselves, moms, dads, grandparents, teachers, educators, others involved with kids, little kids, that we can make a difference. Let's appreciate those who pour into our kids in our church and congregational settings. That calling is a highly valuable calling. Let's not minimize it. Let's not denigrate it. Well, not good enough to be a pastor, youth pastors, or children's worker. No. Let's esteem the high calling on these individuals that pour into children. 866-34-TRUTH. Samuel in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
God bless you, Dr. Brown. My question is in reference to, you know, the great sadness that's coming over the nation. I wanted to see if you can expound on a passage that Paul states in Corinthians or Galatians when he talks about how godly sorrow worketh repentance. And we know at times like this, you know, we become sad, humans become sad, but you said it earlier that, you know, in a couple of weeks, people will quickly forget this event, you know, and can you expound on the difference between sorrow and godly sorrow?
Sure. In 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, Paul talks about the sorrow of the world that produces death. There's a hopelessness, and in particular in the context of dealing with sin, you know, that's his context there, Samuel, but there is a human sorrow which produces nothing. It can lead to depression, it can lead to hopelessness, it can lead to suicide, it can lead to death. There may be regret, but there's no repentance. Godly sorrow for our sins leads to repentance. And for those that think repentance is just simply, well, I'll change my mind, it's deeper than that. And godly sorrow, you recognize evil, you recognize wrong, you recognize it was my sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. I'm to blame. When I have to give account to God, I'm to blame. And this godly sorrow produces a deep desire to change, a deep appreciation for God's grace and mercy. And then out of that, a transformed life. It produces repentance, not to be repented of, as some translated. So in the midst of this, Samuel, what we want to do is godly mourning that turns to intercession and prayer and redemption, not hopeless mourning. Thank you for the call.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, I just want to stay on the subject of the last caller for a moment about godly sorrow versus the sorrow of the world. Again, in 2 Corinthians 7, it's focused in particular on issues of our response to sin. But there is that broader issue of a mourning that's just hopeless despair. And it's certainly, right now, that is the mourning in the hearts of many parents, family members. Again, I can't imagine this. I try to put myself in the shoes of parents, family members, the kids that were in the school with the massacre in Connecticut. If you just tuned in, Michael Brown, we're not doing our normal You've Got Questions, We've Got Answers that we do on Friday because of the elementary school massacre. At least 27 dead, including 18 children. Initially, the report was the shooter was 20 years old. Now they say 24 years old. But again, 18 children in elementary school aged from kindergarten to fourth grade. So it was a younger elementary school. They didn't even have fifth and sixth graders there. I cannot imagine for a moment the shock, the horror, who can put it into words that these family members are going through. And things like this can lead to depression, people on medication for the rest of their lives, understandably, in the natural. They can lead to suicide. They can lead to all types of traumas. There is a sorrow, though, that's very deep and very profound and very agonizing, but it is a sorrow that leads to life. Jesus said, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. There is a mourning that becomes an intercession, that the tears become a prayer, that the pain becomes a prayer, that the heart cry becomes a prayer. And that prayer goes up to the throne of God, and he acts in redemptive ways on behalf of families and victims and others. So let us join with our godly sorrow, our godly pain, that will become sacred intercession in the sight of God. If you'd like to weigh in with some thoughts, 866-34-TRUTH. I understand the president is addressing things now, so perhaps we'll have some updates on his comments afterwards. I'm assuming that what he says or has said is useful and helpful. I'm making that assumption. I'm glad that he feels the need to address this publicly. Okay, right. So he's finished speaking now, and I'm glad that this has been addressed by our president, and that it's not just a statement release. That's the right thing to do at a time like this. Philip in Kernersville, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, God bless you.
Thank you.
Listen, I'm a literature evangelist. We publish the Blue Bible books for the children, and we go into homes and share those Bible books. And over the past 40 years, the most we've ever had is 9 literature evangelists in our area, and we're at 23 now, and God's getting ready to do a work. And I'll hope and pray that these families will seek him, and they'll receive the peace and love that the world does not understand for these lost children, and my heart goes out for them.
Yeah. What exactly do you do with this children's literature evangelism?
Yes, sir. We advertise in the doctors and offices, and we leave the blue Bible books. I know you've seen them. They've been around for 55 years.
Mm.
And the folks, they fill out the cards, and we go visit them, and we share the love of Christ through these books with the children. And we have adult series, too, but it's the Bible books that are most important. And God's really moving. I go into homes every day where these people, hurting folks with the economy, are scraping up money to buy these books for their children so they'll understand the love that Christ has for them.
I appreciate you doing that, sir, and I'm sure you know the stats that the vast, vast, vast majority of people around the world who come to faith do so before the age of 15. So reaching out to kids is a very sacred work. God bless you, Philip, and may many more be raised up to join you in the aftermath of a tragedy like this. I appreciate it.
Dr. Brown, would it be possible to leave a website that we
yes,
that
please, go ahead. Surely,
it's
go ahead.
It's www.hhesbiblestories.com.
H-H-E-S?
Yes, sir. Biblestories.com.
All right, to get that, folks, www.hhesbiblestories.com. Thanks for the call, Philip.
God bless you, man.
God bless. All right, let's go to AJ in Sugar House, Utah. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you, sir. I just got a question for you. Can you hear me well?
Yes, I can.
All right. You know, what's going on around in the world, you know, how God has turned his back on different countries, and you see buses being blown up, suicide bombers, different things that happen in nations that God has turned his back on. And with our president giving 20 fighters to the enemy of Israel, and possibly 200 tanks are going, I'm not verified on that, but with the shooting that's happening and 18 children.
Yeah, AJ, let me say this. The last thing that I would do right now is try to make a connection between the president or the government or some specific thing we've done. This is an absolutely horrific, horrific act, but wasn't that long ago a man went into an Amish school and killed Amish children? Was it six or so that were killed? There was a massacre early this year in a movie theater, not involving the number of little children like this. There have been many shootings in our schools, kids killing kids and others. These are atrocities because of the atrocious condition of human beings. And this is a picture of what human beings can do. And it's a picture of why Jesus had to die and why we must pray for mercy and awakening in our country. Is God giving over America to its sins? Well, I'm sure it's been happening for years now. But it's not too late for mercy. Thank you, sir, for the call. Friends, as always, we have special resource offers, and those are things we make available to you to be a blessing to you and to further the ministry of what we do, as well as to help you stand with us and support us. It's just not time for me to tell you about the latest, greatest resource offer, although I believe in everything that we do. I'd rather just say pray for us. Pray for our ministry work. If you want to take advantage of the offer you heard on the air yesterday, by all means, go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and click on the online bookstore or call our normal toll-free number, 1-800-278-9978. If you want to stand with us financially at the end of the year, that's a great blessing to us, as well as a one-time giver or monthly supporter. And that number, 1-800-278-9978, or you can visit our website, askdrbrown.org. I've got thoughts of redemption and hope in the midst of the pain to share with you when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for tuning in this Friday on the Line of Fire. Yes, normally Friday is you've got questions, we've got answers, but we preempted that for the last hour and a half, and we are preempting that now in this final half hour of our broadcast because of the tragic shootings in Connecticut. If you have not been following the news today, it's bad news, shocking news. A gunman, 24 years old, apparently the son of a teacher at an elementary school in Connecticut, came in fully armed, killed at least 26 people, including 18 children. I opened the phones earlier in the broadcast and thought maybe a couple of people might want to weigh in with some thoughts, and I was actually surprised to see how the phone lines lit up. People wanted to share thoughts at this time, and I want to summarize briefly a few things I've been saying thus far and then bring attention to something that one of our callers shared in the last half hour. Number one, events like this remind me of the horrific nature of human sin and the fact that God sees things being committed every second of every day, horrible sinful acts, atrocious things, maybe not on this magnitude, but constantly horrific, shocking things. The only reason we still exist as a human race and the only reason America still stands is because of the mercy of God. I remember some years ago hearing an account where a man who was previously an arrested sex offender, in fact, had pleaded with the court to keep him in jail. He said he couldn't help himself. He kidnapped a little girl from her home and then abused her and then killed her, suffocated her, and buried her. And when they dug her up, he brought her to where she was buried. When they dug her up, they learned that she was buried alive. I remember hearing that, and just I was just so devastated, so utterly devastated. Just wanted to talk to Nancy. I think she was laying in bed already, and just was crying. And I remember saying, how is it that God has not destroyed the whole human race? In other words, that one man's act to me was a picture of the sinfulness of humanity. That's how I feel when I hear something like that today. And it reminds me again of how desperately we need Jesus, how desperately we need a Savior, how easily we pat ourselves on the back, and how quickly we trivialize human evil and sin, and how quickly a good economy gets our eyes off of human sin and wickedness, and a sports victory or some nice thing happening in our lives allows us to forget. A day like today reminds us we can't forget. We need to turn to God. The good news is that in the midst of darkness and unspeakable pain, and we have prayed a couple of times already for those involved, the families, and unless you've been involved in something similar, and who has? I mean, very, very few. It's completely unimaginable, obviously. But we serve a God who somehow can bring light out of darkness and who somehow can bring good out of evil. It does not minimize for a second the pain that people are in, but it does say it is not the end of the story. And a caller reminded us that at the time that Jesus was born, Herod slaughtered all the baby boys in Bethlehem, 2 years old and younger. And it was the time of the Savior's birth, the assault on these precious, innocent lives. So at this time, as the world thinks of Jesus' birth, not that he was born on December 25th, but much of the world reflects on his birth, let this be a time that we reflect on the only one who can bring hope, bring life, and deal with sin effectively, Jesus, the Savior. We'll be right back. Stay with us. 866-348-7884.
Cleansing flame, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just during our very short break that we have here, looking at the president's comments about the massacre at the elementary school. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown here. As always, it's Friday, but we're not doing our normal you've got questions, we've got answers for obvious reasons. There are more important things that we're focusing on today. Your questions are always important, but this is a day when we change our focus. The president said, we've endured too many of these tragedies in the past few years. Each time I learn the news, I react not as a president, but as anybody would, as a parent. That was especially true today. I know there's not a parent in America that doesn't feel the same overwhelming grief that I do. The majority of those who died today were children, beautiful little kids between the ages of 5 and 10. They had their entire lives ahead of them, birthdays, graduations, weddings, kids of their own. Our hearts are broken today for the parents and grandparents, sisters and brothers of these children, the families of the adults we lost. The president said, as a country, we've been through this too many times. This evening, Michelle and I will do what every parent in America will do, hug our children a little tighter, tell them that we love them. There are families in Connecticut that cannot do that tonight. They need all of us tonight. May God bless the memory of the victims. In the words of Scripture, heal the brokenhearted and bind up their wounds. The president has ordered flags to be lowered at half staff as a mark of respect for the victims, quoted the senseless acts of violence perpetrated on December 14th, 2012 in Newtown, Connecticut. And reports that I have just received from our team here that the shooter, 24 years old, killed his mother, father, and brother. how old was his brother, Andrew? Do we know that? Was he that young in the school? Just wondering. You know, I'm not one that voted for President Obama. On a day like today, though, he's my president as much as your president. In other words, I appreciate him standing and saying what he's saying. I stand with him as he says these things. And perhaps this will cause us to reflect even more on the preciousness of children and the need for us to provide solid families, not torn up by divorce and immorality. Solid families in which we could raise our kids. And let this also be a time when we have greater esteem for all human life, all innocent life, beginning, yes, in the womb. Let this be a time when we recognize as parents the importance of the role that we play, the impact that we make. You know, I'm going to share a story with you. It's completely out of the blue in terms of me bringing it up, but I think it's relevant. I think it's relevant. I shared this in our congregation at Fire Church, where I preach once a month. I shared this story when I was asked to speak on Father's Day this year. There was a well-known American, 1800s. He was followed by many in our country, often made reference to a special day with his dad that went out fishing. He was a boy, went out fishing with his father, and often made reference to that day, how it impacted him, what he learned from his dad. After his death, folks were curious to find out more about his life and actually found the father's journal and thought, let's go to that particular day. Let's go to that particular day and see what the father recorded about that time with his son. And this is what the journal entry said. Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. Went fishing with my son today, a day wasted. This day that so impacted that son and gave him memories that he took with him for life from the father's perspective was A Day Wasted. It's a book I read on being a father when we had our first child, a book called The Effective Father. And I think the chapter was entitled something like Never a Day Wasted. Especially at a time like this, it's important for us as parents to not just leave our kids with the TV and video games and internet as their babysitters, and to recognize the importance of pouring our lives into them and how pliable they are and how quickly they're going to be grown and out of the home. And to whatever extent they feel like a burden and it's a challenge, and maybe you're working two jobs to make ends meet, may I encourage you to put first things first. May I encourage you to say, thank God we have our kids here with us. And yeah, some of your kids may be harder to handle than others, and you may have some challenges, but if you start with the right perspective, these kids are gifts from God and to be cherished. And sacred responsibilities. Come on, we often talk in our church services about our finances and how the tithe belongs to God. People use that teaching and everything we have is God's and we're just giving back to Him and we have to give account. We have to be good stewards. And there's a lot of truth in that teaching, although I don't teach the tithe as a New Testament command, but rather as an excellent principle. But everything we have belongs to Him, yes. But how much more kids? How much more our children? How much more these impressionable little ones that are going to be molded by our example more deeply than we could realize? I'll tell you a lighthearted story, but with a serious moral, all right? Nancy and I, over the years, have done better with total abstaining from things rather than doing it in a disciplined way. In other words, let's say we're really into ice cream or cookies or some snack or treat. We either going to have it or not have it, as opposed to, well, we'll have it in the home, but just use a little scoop every few days or a little treat. Either we're going to, if it's in the home, we eat it. If it's not in the home, we don't. Well, some years back, let me think now, maybe 25 years ago, maybe a little longer. Somehow, I forget how we had it in the house, but these really nice chocolate sweets of some kind, we had them in the pantry, and they were special, and we decided we're going to save them for some special occasion, having guests over. I don't know if they were gifts someone gave us, whatever. And I noticed that they were eating. I thought Nancy was eating some, because we made an agreement, we're not going to touch them. We told our kids, our daughters, Jen and Maggie, we're not going to touch them, and we're going to save them. So, in fact, we said no chocolate, no sweets in the house. Well, of course, Nancy and I, we're adults. We can get in the car and drive out and buy some if we want. Our kids are little. They don't have the power to do that. Well, I noticed that the chocolates were disappearing. Nancy noticed it. So she assumed it was me. I assumed it was her. And she said, honey, we said we weren't going to have any sweets. I said, I didn't have any. I said, I thought you just said I didn't. So immediately we knew, it's Jed. It's our older daughter, a bit of a sweet tooth. So, of course, we're going to have to punish her because we had told her, no sweets, whatever the discipline was going to be. And I said to Nancy, before we do that, I need to show you something. I said, come here. We went into my office, my study at home, and I opened the desk drawer, and there I had a stash of Hydrox. They're like, Oreo cookies. I had a stash of them. Yeah, I even though we had agreed no sweets, no chocolate in the house, I secretly got my own so I could have them when I want it. I said, so I feel a little bit bad dealing with Jen about this. And Nancy said, before we do anything, let me show you something. We went up to our bedroom, and she opens her hutch, and there in the hutch she had a stash of Reese's Pieces. And as laughable as it was, we realized that our daughter was secretly doing what we as parents were secretly doing, and that the sinful conduct in our lives, violating our family agreement, she was doing, how could we punish her for doing what we were doing? You know, it's a scary thing when you see your kids learning the bad before they learn the good, picking up the bad habits before the good. All the more do we want to pray for our kids and pray for ourselves as parents, teachers or educators working with them, or children's workers. And all the more do we want to pray that they will have their own encounter with God, a fresh encounter with God. If we just pass down religious traditions, it won't do any good. All right, back with my final thoughts, reflections on a day of heavy hearts throughout America, especially day of agony in Newtown, Connecticut.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire. If you're used to our broadcast on Fridays, you know Friday is you've got questions, we've got answers, where we take your questions, your e-questions, your calls. But we haven't done that today because of the events in Connecticut, the massacre in an elementary school, taking the lives of 18 elementary school children, along with what apparently 9 adults, still not clear on every detail. And I'm reminded of Jesus speaking to the church in Laodicea, where he says, "You say I'm rich, increased in wealth, and have need of nothing, and don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked." Most human beings don't recognize how evil sin is. Most human beings, even believers, don't recognize fully the evil of sin. I prayed at different times over my life that God would help me to hate sin the way he did and love righteousness the way he did. And I once prayed with some fear and trepidation that to the extent I was able to handle it, God would show me how my sin affected him. I say that because when we see something horrific like this, we could just say, well, that's really despicable. That is the most despicable thing a human being could do. Massacre children, little children in cold blood. And I agree, it's hard to think of anything more despicable than that. At the same time, that's a fellow human being. That's a fellow human being. That is someone doing something we haven't done, but we have committed our own sins. We have been guilty of our own sinful acts. Jesus said that if we hate in our hearts, if we hate someone, that we're guilty of murder in our hearts. What I'm saying is this: we need to use a time like this to reflect on the fallen nature of the human race. This is one of our own who did this. The fallen nature of the human race, the suffering that's going on all over the world at any given moment, as written in Romans, the 8th chapter, Paul says this, as he's talking about the suffering of the entire world and the suffering of creation. And he said, not only is the whole creation groaning as in the pains of childbirth, but we ourselves who are the first fruits of the Spirit, we groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption, the redemption of our bodies. And he says this, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans, through groans that can't be uttered in human speech. In other words, we don't even know how to pray in the midst of all the suffering and pain of the world. The Spirit helps us, and these are prayers going up to God for his redemption to come. It's on days like today when you say, "Come quickly, Lord Jesus." It's on days like today that not only do you hug your own kids more tightly and reflect on ways to be a better parent or teacher or children's worker, But it's also a time when you say, oh, God, have mercy on our land. America is a very bloody land. You know, earlier this year, stats came out that there were more Americans that were killed in the city of Chicago in 2012 than soldiers killed in Afghanistan in 2012. I was talking to a father who was sending his daughter to Kurdistan with some of our fire team missionaries, grads from our school, going over to Kurdistan, northern Iraq, to teach English and to share the good news of Jesus with these Muslims in northern Iraq. And here, Iraq, you know the dangers of that. And there are some radical Islamic strongholds in those regions, and it can be very dangerous. And, of course, here's a father sending his daughter, sending his grandkids over there. And on the one hand, he knows it's for the gospel, and so be it. He's always entrusted them to the Lord. He also realizes that in Chicago, where he lives, people are getting gunned down left and right. A bloody nation we have, and we need the mercy of God. Let's use this not to become more cynical, not just to give way to depression and hopelessness, but to draw near to God, to draw near to the Lord and to ask him to have mercy on our land, to draw near to the Lord and to ask him to use us as vessels of mercy and vessels of redemption and vessels of hope, because they're hurting people that we can help with a message of life and with tangible acts of life, and we can make a difference. Mother Teresa years ago spoke at a national prayer breakfast. And was she taking the place of Billy Graham, who couldn't speak? Was that the case? Either way, she spoke at this prayer breakfast, this little courageous woman. And President Clinton was there, Hillary, and I believe the Gores were there, if I remember correctly. And she said plainly, you know, when she spoke of the sin of abortion, she had said in another time, when mothers kill their own children, what else is there for a nation? And how much can we go any lower? We need the mercy of God. But I have great hope, friends, that God will hear the cries of his people. Let's join our cry with the agonizing cry of parents and siblings and grandparents who are in shock and agony beyond anything I can relate to right now. Let's join our cries with them, but let our cries go up to the throne of God as cries of redemption, cries of mercy, cries of hope to the God, yes, who does bind up the brokenhearted, who's near to the brokenhearted, and who heals their wounds. Again, Father, we pray for an outpouring of your mercy on the families, relatives involved with the slaughter in Connecticut today. We ask, God, that out of hopelessness and despair, you bring hope, you bring life. Even as the slaughter of the innocent children came when Jesus was born into the world, as the world thinks about Christmas, thinks about the birth of Jesus, may eyes turn to him in a deeper way than we have known in years. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Friends, if you were listening to yesterday's broadcast and were really eager to take advantage of the special offer we had, that still stands. We're just not mentioning it now. So you can call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or you can go to our website, askdrbrown.org, and you can click on the online bookstore there. Again, that's askdrbrown.org. Click on the online bookstore. And if you can stand with us, if you believe in what we're doing and want to stand with us and help us, you can do that through the website. Just click support. Or again, by calling 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, this tragedy is not the end of the story. Let us commit to pray for the families involved. That is something so precious has been taken from them that can never be repaid in this world, that God somehow will bring them something even more.